On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Big deal. That's a big deal.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yes, I do like that sort. Well,
that's whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Good to see you, man. You're looking good. Have you been cutting out pasta and breads? You're looking really slim. It's the only way to do it, man. Stop eating pasta, stop eating bread, the two most wonderful foods in the world. Can't eat them. Can't do it. Report came out today. I'm sorry, I was inhaling. Should never try to do that. Report came out. Ron, get to the thing already. Stop saying report came out today. Get to the meat of it. Report came out today that the cases of diabetes around the world have quadrupled since 1990. Quadrupled. That's four times as much for those of you that don't know what quadrupled means. Wow. What happened? What happened? Why are people all of a sudden, why are there four times as many cases of diabetes? Well, there's two ways to look at this. One is like this and one is like this. You can't see that because this isn't a visual show. Two ways to look at it. One is that, well, maybe we didn't even know what diabetes were. So nobody like went to their doctor to be diagnosed to have even the thing, to be called a diabetic. Type 2 diabetes is, you know, that too, you know, which is more common, the type 2 diabetes. Maybe they weren't being diagnosed as that. Maybe the diabetes thing changed. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I'm not a doctor. Stop calling me a doctor. I'm not one. Just because I wear a smock and surgical gear doesn't make me a doctor. Just because I walk around telling people I'm a doctor doesn't make me a doctor. Just because I have a car and the license plate that says Dr. Ron doesn't mean I'm a doctor. Just because I perform surgery on people doesn't make me a doctor. So stop calling me a doctor. Just because I have it on my business card doesn't mean that I'm a doctor. Just because I have patients all day that have all types of diseases and I have to diagnose them, that doesn't make me a doctor. Just because I have a diploma on my wall that says Dr. Van Dam doesn't make me a doctor. I mean, it's like going to Lowe's or Home Depot and buying one of those toilet plungers. All of a sudden, you're not a plumber. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, Ron, calm down, man. Get a life. What's wrong with you? I just found that very interesting. Quadrupled since 1990. And we're not eating more sugar. I think we ate more sugar when we were younger. I think it's just a question of it not being diagnosed properly. I think we all had diabetes always. It's like blood pressure, you know, they say. Someone sits in a boardroom, some medical doctors sit in a boardroom somewhere in Washington, D.C., and they say, okay, what do we want to call high blood pressure? Bob, what do you want to call it? Let's say anything, let's say the bottom reading, I forget what we call that, Joe, but that bottom reading, anything above 90, let's say that's high blood pressure, what do you think? Dan, what do you think? 90's good. I was going to go more with 85. I don't know. 85 is a little too low. You want to do like 95? You want to do 95? Bert, 95, is that good for you? That's a little high, Bob. Let's do 90. All right, everybody agree 90, that bottom number. Let's all say 90 is like borderline. You want to do that, everybody? Yeah, 90's good. Yeah, let's do 90. All right, we got a holdout on Dan who wants to do 95. Dan, can we convince you to come down to 90?
Hey, buy me a pizza, give me a couple of beers, I'm down to 92.
Okay, that's what we'll do right after the meeting then, Dan. All right, we're all decided on 90 for now, being borderline high blood pressure. Everybody raise your hand if it's 90. Okay, 90 it is. All right, call all the papers, call the news outlets, tell them 90 is our new number for that, for the blood pressure. Let's go with it. Hey, thank you, guys. You have a good day. Bye-bye. See you next year when we'll reassess it. Bye. And don't forget to come to the meeting tomorrow where we're all going to sit around the table and figure out how many calories you should be eating a day. I know I'm thinking 2,000. I know Dan's going 3,000. Some of you want to go below 2,000. We'll discuss it tomorrow. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Bye.
That's how they do it. I guarantee you that's how they do it. Well, I'm not going to guarantee you, but I'm pretty sure that's how they do it. It's a bunch of peeps, a bunch of your own peers, ladies and gentlemen, sitting around your board table. You're going to sit around your old board table. This is day 2,563 of allergies for me. I don't know. I never had allergies when I was a kid. Never had asthma, never had allergies, no problems respiratorily whatsoever. Still don't. It's just that, my goodness, about 2,000 days ago, if I remember, give or take a couple of hundred days, I started getting allergies where I would sneeze sometimes, you know, and my nose would get a little stuffy-wuffy. And I've had it ever since. And I don't want to take allergy pills because I'm not into taking pills, man, because your liver has to deal with this. Can you imagine your liver sitting there all day in your body, you know, just dealing with all the food and all the crap you eat, and then all of a sudden all these pills come at it to change everything? Your liver's going, hey, man, what are you doing? Stop it. What are you doing to yourself? Just because a doctor tells you to take these things, you take them? What's the matter with you? That's what your liver says. Unless you're French, then it says, hey, what is the matter with you? Why are you doing this? Has a little French accent in your liver. Did you know that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, something that I really do love is chopped liver. Raise your hand if you like chopped liver. Jews usually like chopped liver. Let me tell you that, because it's one of their foods. And it's a chicken liver, actually. It's the liver of a chicken. And I, be honest with you, didn't know chickens had livers, never really even thought about it. I know I've got a liver because they tell me I do. I've never seen it, but I believe it's there. It's in all the little models there with the plastic livers. I've heard about it, but I never think about, well, there are chicken livers, and you eat them, and they chop them up, and they put some stuff in it, like, I think it's mayonnaise, I don't know what to put in there, but it's very, very tasty. It is a consistency of shit, and it looks exactly like a pile of manure, but it's very tasty, and it took me a long time as a child to get over that, because I found chopped liver to be very tasty, but at the same time, it is the sister of shit, and it's difficult for most human beings to actually do that. If you go to your supermarket and you go to the deli section, they will usually have a tray full of shit, and it's actually chopped liver. And it's interesting because they always put it off to the side because you don't want a tray of shit sitting next to your Virginia baked ham. It just doesn't go. It kind of makes the ham look not as tasty as it would be if the ham was in a different corner in the deli. So they always put the chopped liver in what they call the little Jewish area, where you have the herring, the pickled herring, and the lox, you know, lox. And by the way, why should smoked salmon be $150 a pound? I don't, you know, here's a salmon, thank you, we're going to smoke it. Now it's $200 a pound. Whoa, whoa, that's a lot of smoking you got going on there. So they put this in the Jewish section because they knew the Jewish section, you know, that's not many people go there. You know, but there is this tray full of
of shit. And it's not even good looking shit. It's looks like, I wouldn't say it looks like diarrhea, because that would be more of the bean soup. This is more of the lentils thing. This is more of a Ron, God, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it right now. People don't want to hear this. All right. If they don't want to hear the truth, you can't handle the truth, can you? Chopped liver exists. That's what it looks like. Deal with it. Yesterday, I'm driving in my car, which happens frequently. I'm coming back from Rhode Island. That's what I call island hopping. I was island hopping. Coming back from the island of Rhode. Oh, the lovely island of Rhode. It's like heaven. It's like paradise. I'm driving back from the island of Rhode. And there's a car in front of me, and it's got one of those vanity license plates. I think they cost a little bit more money because prisoners have to make them. And I don't know why that would be the number one product coming out of a prison would be license plates. I got to tell you, they do a damn good job if that's the case. Kudos. I guess there should be jail and prison systems because they're putting out some damn fine looking license plates. Congratulations to you guys and girls. Anyway, it was a vanity license plate. And you know, if you have a vanity license plate, you have to be vain. It goes with the title of the plate, and it makes sense. The regular letter and number combinations aren't good enough for you. You have to advertise your personality on the ass of your car. I mean, seriously, you have to advertise your personality right near the tailpipe. What? That's important to you? So there's this. It was a main license plate. And the license plate, it was a vanity license plate. And it was lawless. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. I'm mentioning somebody's license plate. It's registered to somebody. It's lawless. It was LAWLESS. License plate from Maine. Track it down. And the thing was, the car was in front of me, and I was in the fast lane. Yes. Yes. The speed limit was 65, and I was going about 67, probably. Car in front of me, lawless, sped up all of a sudden. It was definitely doing 80, and that's, you know, that's above the thing. People drive at 80 on a 65-mile-an-hour highway, but you're not supposed to. And on the license plate, it says lawless. And I said to myself, why are you advertising to everybody that you're breaking the law and you have no regard for the law whatsoever? Do you think that if a police officer, a cop, a state trooper sees a person with a license plate lawless, that you're just going to laugh? Or are you going to tail that son of a bitch and show them what lawless is all about? You tail the son of a bitch. And it happened. The car speeds off in front of me, and I'm driving along for another few minutes, and I'm looking at the side of the road, and there's the blue lights flashing, and there is a Massachusetts state police trooper person authority. And guess what car was pulled to the side of the road? The lawless car. And I'm laughing my ass off, saying to myself, well, who's the vanity license plate person now? I mean, this is so stupid. Why would you advertise in the back of your car that you're lawless, you break the law, you have no law whatsoever? Because the cops come get me. I mean, it's just so stupid. Stupid idiot. You stupid idiot. And there you are. There you are. Pulled over to the side of the road. What do you think of vanity license plates, huh? Yeah. Yeah, come on. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Same response that Donald Trump gets outside of his rallies. Yeah. Yeah. Stop Trump.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
You like the way I sing? There's an event taking place this weekend. You know that there's such a thing as Good Deeds Day? Uh-huh.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, David. David Arison joins us now. We're talking about Good Deeds Day. What is Good Deeds Day?
Good Deeds Day is a global movement of doing good that my mother, Sherry Arison, initiated 10 years ago now. And basically, we promote volunteering in the community and people being kind and nice to each other.
Oh, they should be like that every day, David.
Yes, it should be like that every day. And hopefully, we start with one day a year Good Deeds Day, and we can create the awareness and critical mass of people doing good on a day-to-day basis.
All right. Now, should I tell people it's Good Deeds Day or just do good deeds and be quiet?
Well, April 10th, this Sunday, April 10th, is Good Deeds Day.
Yes.
And we're going to be having many different events throughout the world, mm-hmm. in 70 countries, yeah. Millions of people joining in. And if you'd like to get some information, please go to sharethegood.org, mm-hmm. and you can get a lot of ideas on how you can participate.
Sounds good. Sounds easy to me. So what is the idea of having a Good Deeds Day? Is the idea that people will then keep this going all year and find that this is a very nice, relaxing thing? Why don't I do this all the time?
Pretty much. That's the general idea. Basically, Good Deeds Day creates a lot of activity, a lot of awareness. And it creates a very special energy that I think it's a very special energy. I've been doing for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And when people connect to that type of energy, then, you know, it kind of ripples within their life.
That's good. All right, let's do some examples of what a good deed is. As you said, holding the door open for somebody, letting somebody with less groceries get in front of you in line, that kind of thing. Just looking out for the other person and doing something a little special in the course of your day.
Yeah, there's many different things. Yeah. It could be an organized volunteering activity, whether it's distributing food to needy or cleaning beaches and parks. Or it could just be like you said, something on the go that you see in your day-to-day life and you have an opportunity to put a smile on somebody else's face.
Well, that's something everybody can do without going to an organized situation, but you do have organized situations across the world, don't you?
We do have organized situations across the world. This Sunday, April 10th, in New York City, we're going to be having a very nice event in Herald Square. Mm-hmm. In Brazil, there's amazing events as well. We're expecting over 30,000 participants. Yeah. But this is all over the world. This is in 70 countries. It's in Rome, in Italy. A few days ago, actually, they had some very nice activities in Uganda, in Africa, and Costa Rica as well. Also, did their Good Deeds Day also a couple days in advance. And it's been special so far, and we're looking forward to Sunday.
That's very, very nice. Okay. Now, what if I want some more information? Where would I go?
So you would go to sharethegood.org, and that could give you all the information you need. And if you'd like to share a good deed, you can do that as well. And please use the hashtag GoodDeedsDay. And that way we can try and get all of the good deeds into one place where we can showcase everything.
Yeah. You know, it's important to get young people involved because, of course, they grow older and they're going to be around longer and they're going to shape the next generation. I don't know how old you are, but, you know, teens and people like that should get into this. And I guess, I'm not making claims on generations and how they act, but I'm saying that with all the self-involved generation thing, we're looking at the smartphones and not paying attention to anybody else, this is a way to get people's eyes off their technology and into different people.
Yes, this is true, even though we would like to use the technology. We would like people to use their technology to share the good as well as formal activities.
How do you do that? You let somebody else use your cell phone?
we do it through the social media.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You spread the word that way. Okay.
We try to spread the word through social media. The younger generation is excellent in getting a very wide reach in doing that.
They do know how to spread that. Cool.
Hopefully they will join with us and help us shape that future in a more positive way.
Fantastic. David, thank you again. And one more time, where we go to put this all together.
Thank you. We sharethegood.org, hashtag Good Deeds Day.
Great.
Looking forward to seeing you April 10th.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And if you are interested in participating on April 10th, Northeastern University is holding a brunch at the Hillel Room. They call the Hillel, H-I-L-L-E-L. I don't go to Northeastern, so I'm not familiar with their Hillel. But that's on the 10th, a brunch being served at the Hillel Room at noon, Northeastern. They're participating in Good Deeds Day, followed by activities and other ceremonies and talks and things like that. And in Newton, they are planning various projects on Good Deeds Day, April 10th. They're going to be cleaning elderly people's yards, preparing and delivering food packs to the needy, and they're keeping company to elderly people in old age homes around Newton as well. You can participate in that and other activities as well that perform good deeds for the good people. That's Good Deeds Day.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Funny story, of course you'll be the judge of that, but funny story, I was in the mood for Chinese food last night. Sometimes you just get in the mood for things and you just have to have it. I was in one of those moods yesterday. I had to have Chinese food. I don't know what it was, just maybe I saw a menu somewhere or I smelled it. Chinese food is great because it's kind of the only restaurant where you're walking around a strip mall and you have this smell of Chinese food. You know, I gotta have Chinese food. Italian restaurants do too. You smell the garlic in the air or the Italian cook and go, gotta have Italian food. Aromas are so convincing. They're so manipulating. I wasn't even hungry, but I want Chinese food. So I walked into this Chinese restaurant. And hey, here's an odd thing. You walk in and all the people working there are Chinese. I'm like, whoa, that's like amazing. So I go in there and the guy behind the counter, he's Chinese, which is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. Chinese food, Chinese people in the Chinese food place. It's a wonderful world. And I place my order. And the Chinese person behind the counter, the man, he says to me, this to take out? I said, yes, take out, please. It's interesting. When you're talking to somebody who doesn't sound like they have total control of the English language, you start dropping verbs. This for take out? No verbs involved. No verbs. And I said, yeah, take out, take out. Yeah. You also talk a little bit louder, like people who don't speak English well are also hard of hearing. I bet it's not the case, but this you always assume. Yes, take out! I can hear you, it's just I don't understand you, son of a bitch. Okay, all right, calm down now. Somehow they know the curse words real well. I can't understand you, but I'll tell you something, you're a son of a bitch! Okay, all right. You do have command of the English language, apparently. Or you went to Trump University where they teach you how to talk like that. So he says, he asked me what my name is so that when the bag of food comes out, they can call my name. And I said, it's Ron. And he said, Don? I said, no, it's Ron. Brian? I said, Ron, my name is Ron. Brian. I said, yeah, Brian. Yeah, that's my name. And he said, I gave up. You know, what the hell's the difference, you know? What the hell's the difference? It's like, Ron, Brian, I don't care. Give me the food and I'll leave. Whatever you want to call me. Call me Schmuckface. I'll respond to that. I did usually through high school anyway. And I'm sitting down. Interestingly enough, the town in which I ordered this food, I'm fairly well known. I used to do a television show in this city called Brockton, Massachusetts. And I was on every channel all the time. And there was a time where I anywhere I went, people knew who I was. It was nice. I got into movies for free and restaurants. I'd be seated right away. It's kind of cool, to be honest with you. It was just cool. I can't argue. It was cool. So I'm sitting in this restaurant. A lot of people still know who I am. I also look different than other people as well. Long hair, beard, the whole bit. You know, I don't look like you. I guarantee you I don't look like you. So I'm sitting there, and this nice couple comes over. They're in their 70s or something, and they go, "Hey, Ron, how you doing? We miss your TV show." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." That still happens a lot wherever I go, and it's ingratiating, it's endearing, it's a festival of fun. And we're sitting there, and we're chatting a little bit, and then you hear in the background the Chinese guy behind the counter has got my food apparently, and he yells out, "Brian!" And I turn around and I get up and I say, "Yeah," and I grab my food. And on the way out, this couple looks at me and says, "Brian?" I said, "Yeah, it's a long story." And they laughed and I laughed and I walked out. And so now in the Chinese community, if food is involved, I'm Brian. But I don't care. The food was wonderful. Actually, it wasn't wonderful, actually. Here's an interesting thing. When I went up to the counter, I said, "No MSG," which means I refuse to go to Madison Square Garden. I just won't go there. I said, no MSG, because I hear other people say it, and it's chemicals. It's monosodium glutamate. And I said, "Well, I don't want chemicals put in my food." So, like, no MSG. He says, "Oh, no problem, no problem. No problem, Brian." And then I got home and I ate the stuff. And to be honest with you, it wasn't as tasty as it probably would have been with MSG. Just in a little aside, that chemicals do make life tastier. Not good for your body, but they do make life tastier, I suppose. I don't know. Hey, it's tax time, man. It's time to do your taxes. Have you done them yet? Most of you have. Some of you haven't. Some of you are saying, "Oh my God, Brian, you're right. I haven't done my taxes yet." So I thought we'd bring on the Fidelity people. They join us every once in a while, the Fidelity Investments people. And they're reminding us about tax time. And the fact that there's still something you can do, even though it's 2016, there's something you can do for your 2015 taxes right now. And I thought that 2015 is over. I can't do anything more about those things. You can. And Fidelity says you can, so therefore it must be true. Ken Hevert is the Senior Vice President, Retirement at Fidelity Investments. He's not retired himself, I don't believe, but we're going to be talking about that a little bit. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing terrific, and no, I'm not retired, though I did recently reach a milestone. I turned 50 this year, so I can start stashing even a little more away in my IRA.
You can. Now, we're talking about a twofold thing here. One is about information that probably most people don't know about, but before we do that, we are in tax time, and most people have already thought about that, if not completed it. What are the deadlines this year?
Yeah, so for the country, generally it's April 18th. For Massachusetts and Maine, we have until April 19th. So I've actually got a few extra days this year, which is great because a lot of us do tend to be procrastinators and, you know, wait until the last minute to pull everything together, including our data has shown this year after year, making contributions for the tax year 2015 into IRAs. So we've got a few extra days, but it's real important that people really start to get zeroed in on this whole idea of, you know, saving now for the future.
Yeah, but oh my God, though it's 2016 already. It's past 2015, so now I'm screwed for putting something in, huh?
Well, no, yeah, you know, you have until April 19th for Massachusetts to put money into your IRA.
Oh, you can still count it. So you put the money in, and you can still deduct it in the 2015 year.
Correct. That's right. So you haven't. That's right. You have until tax filing day to make a contribution for the prior year. So one of the things that's important is, you know, if that's what you're going to do, and quite a few of our IRA investors do this, they make what's called a prior year contribution, and it's important to make sure that you note that if you're sending in a check to your IRA company, or if you're going to make the contribution, you know, online or over your phone. Make sure that, you know, you're clear that this is for the prior year. And then you can also make a contribution for 2016. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to start stashing away some nest egg money.
Now, let's say I don't have a lot of money to put in an IRA. So what's even the point? It's just not going to, it's not much.
Well, it does add up. And I think, you know, most of us start learning this lesson at some point in our lives that, you know, even if you can't make the full contribution, so for an individual under the age of 50, it's $5,500. Non-working spouses can also make a contribution. And for individuals over 50, it's $6,500. The average contribution that I see coming in every year is usually under that maximum. So typically, on average, people are putting between $2,500 and $3,000 a year into their IRAs, some years more, some years less. The key is to be consistent and to make sure you're taking advantage of, number one, tax deferral, right? It's something that really works in our favor. You don't pay taxes on the earnings while it's growing. And then secondly, the ability to invest, you know, for the long term. So meaning use stocks, use bonds, use, you know, some mix of cash. But, you know, you want to be diversified so you can ride the ups and downs of the market and ultimately come out ahead.
If I put money into an IRA or whatever right now and call it 2015, et cetera, as you've described, does it lessen the amount of taxes perhaps that I would have to pay this year? Is it a deduction in itself?
Well, that all depends on a number of different factors, primarily based, you know, on your income. And so, you know, probably the best thing for individuals, if they're not sure about whether or not, you know, some or all of their contribution is tax deductible, if your listeners go to fidelity.com/IRAs or visit one of our 8 investor centers in the area, you know, we can help people figure out whether or not there's a possibility that some or all of that contribution is deductible. So, you know, first and foremost, it's based on your income level. Gradually, the deductions phase out.
Okay, all right. So there could be a benefit to that on top of it, possibly, but there's a benefit in doing it in the first place, but. Okay, so check that out. All right.
Yeah. Well, listen. The biggest benefit is to do everything possible to make sure that you have enough money to live on in retirement. Mm-hmm. The number one concern we hear from people who are on the cusp of retiring is that they're afraid that they're going to run out of money, even if they already have saved a lot of money. So I think there's so much uncertainty when it comes to retirement. The paychecks stop. There's a whole new lifestyle that you're dealing with. There's probably a new set of expenses that you haven't really had to deal with before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so putting yourself in a spot where you have piled up as much money as possible. I mean, that's the goal.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. As I sip on my coffee and almost choke. Kevin, okay, so we know where to go. We know what to do. And I thank you so much for your time this morning at Fidelity.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me today. And again, your listeners can go to fidelity.com/IRAs, and we can answer pretty much every question that you have about investing in IRAs.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, but and we've talked to Fidelity many times in the past, a lot of people are saying, how can I grow my money? I can't do it in the savings account. I'm just kind of like stale here. Give a call to Fidelity. They don't charge you to make the phone call, and just tell them you want to sit down and talk about your future and the best ways to grow your money, and they can help you out. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. I hate deadlines. I don't like deadlines. They're imposing. They're impending and imposing. I don't like deadlines. Taxes, deadlines, not good. I don't like government or even other people telling me you better do this by this deadline, otherwise you're in trouble. I don't like that. I don't respond well to threats. Don't like it. Sorry, ain't going to happen. Not going there. Sorry, not. I don't like it. Stop it. Don't like it. Don't give me deadlines. You have to have these papers in by 10 o'clock. No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me what I have to do, young lady. You don't know who I am. You know who you're messing with. I'm Brian. I'm Brian to the Chinese restaurant community. So don't mess with me. I don't do MSG, okay? So I don't even go there. I ain't doing no MSG. Don't tell me I have to do MSG, because I ain't doing it. All right, fine, good. Tomorrow on the program, Tori Lagarde joins me. We go through all kinds of subject matter really quickly. That's on Fridays. And that plays all through the weekend for your dining and dancing pleasure. You can actually dance to that show. I'm sucking on a cough drop. Can you tell? Can you hear me sucking? Oh, Ron, we can hear you sucking. We can hear you every weekday sucking. Oh, that's funny. You know, you're really funny. You think you're funny, don't you? You think that's funny? Well, it's not funny. Just because I make mistakes... Yeah, I made a mistake on Veterans Day once. Once I made a mistake on Veterans Day. You want me to play that for you? Yeah, I make mistakes.
Okay, let's do the thing here. Let's speak to... we're going to talk about Veterans Day. Good morning, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Well, how did you spend Veterans Day yesterday? I know you did some special stuff.
Well, I think... I spent Veterans Day thanking the veterans in the world, sir. But actually I'm a veterinarian, and that's who you're speaking with.
That's
Dr.
Right.
John DeYoung, and I'm a veterinarian.
Look, I figure one vet is good for another vet.
Absolutely. But I'm here to talk to you about the 150th anniversary of the American Veterinary Medical Association, on which I serve on the executive board, and any questions you guys might have about the veterinary profession, veterinary care for your animals, etc.
And I thank the veterinarians for making our country safe and what it is. I'm trying to tie the two together. Now,
sure will.
Okay.
Well, what we do, interestingly enough, Ron, is that veterinarians are involved with food safety, and all of the foods that are inspected in the armed services are done through veterinarians. So. Veterinarians play a very important role
in food
safety, not only for our troops,
and I knew that,
but also for people here at home.
That was my point to begin with.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, right. You know, I wanted to ask about pet insurance and sure. the cost of going to.
That was my most embarrassing radio moment ever. It was Veterans Day. They booked a veterinarian on the show. How would I know that? Didn't I assume when he said, okay, we're talking about veterinarians and we have a vet on the phone. Okay, thank you for your service. No, I'm a veterinarian. I take care of animals. Oh, my God. It's funny. Isn't it funny? It happens. It happens. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.